All right, folks, welcome to you, and thanks for being here for our Lunch with a Legend. We appreciate it very much. This is the third in our series, and the bar keeps being raised higher and higher, so I don't know where we go from here, but it's been two really good ones so far. Back in September, I think, we had Don Troll and Lawrence Elkins here. And then in November, we had Neil and Jay Jeffrey here. And today, we are pleased to have with us, representing Baylor women's basketball, Sophia Young Malcolm. Sophia is here today. So, hang on one second. Let me make a few introductions. Welcome to you, Sophia. Take a bow, and then I'll bring you up here in just a second. But we're glad to have Sophia here. And again, I apologize if you didn't hear me earlier that Michael Williams will not be with us today. Wait, before y'all leave, back of the room, they're getting ready to go to work, but the women's basketball staff is here. Coach Kim Mulkey is right over here. Welcome, Coach Mulkey. And then Coach Bill Brock and Jennifer Roberts and Johnny Derrick and Coach Satya Messer are here. We appreciate y'all being here. Thanks very much. Wish you could stay, but they've got a little game in Austin on Sunday, so they're going to go back and go to work, and that's going to be fun to watch Sunday afternoon at 2:30 from Austin. Thank you all for being here. Wish you could stay with us. All right, let me make a few introductions and some thank yous as well. Thanks to our table sponsors. We have three table sponsors up here near the front. Glenda Strum is right here. Glenda, we appreciate you, one of our table sponsors. Thanks very much for being here. Martin and Lauren Schwartz are right over here, and thanks to Martin and Lauren. Appreciate your table sponsorships. And Gary Parker is here with First University Credit Union, and thanks for your table sponsorship as well. Appreciate it. This series of luncheons is under the auspices of the Baylor Sports Network, and the Baylor Sports Network, the director is Doug Furch, former Baylor football letterman right here. Doug, thank you very much for all your good work. The assistant director for the Baylor Sports Network is Paul Thorpe, and Paul is back there in the back. Paul, appreciate you and everything you do. And Rob Ingram is here with the Baylor Business Network as well. Rob, appreciate you very much. And all this, the Baylor Sports Network is under the large umbrella of the Baylor Alumni Network and Constituent Engagement. And we are pleased to have with us the Vice President for Constituent Engagement and Chief of Staff, Tommy Lou Davis, is right over here. Tommy Lou, welcome to you. Thank you very much. And Adam Eklund is here. Adam is seated. We're right here, right in front of me. Adam is the Associate VP for Constituent Engagement. Welcome to you, Adam. We appreciate it very much. All right, some others to introduce to you, and most have found a spot there in the back of the room. Jerry Hill is here, the great writer for the Baylor Bear Foundation and the Baylor Insider. Hey, Jerry, welcome to you. Tom Hill, Associate AD for Baylor and Baylor Athletics is back there. Matt Iazzetti from IMG, also our Associate AD for the B Association, our Letterman's Association. The great Walter Abercrombie is here. Walter, welcome to you. Walter and Tammy and Lauren are here from the B Association. Thanks also to Tessa and Michelle. They checked you in at the door as you came in. Tessa and Michelle with the area of the Baylor Alumni Network. Appreciate you all very much. And I'll tell you this, at the end of the day, at the end of our program at least, the table where you came in, where they were seated, Sophia has graciously agreed to stay there for a little bit and sign autographs on your way out. Maybe if you twist your arm, maybe a picture or two with Sophia also. So that'll take place right there at that main entry door as we leave and as we finish today. Thanks to John Davis. John's right here with Baylor AV Services. And Justin Hoff with the Baylor Vision is videoing this event. We're going to video all of these, and then we'll have audio recordings also. I think it's a great archive of Baylor athletics history with these luncheons. So we'll let you know when and where you might could find those to watch again or share the link with somebody else to watch if somebody had to miss today. All right. Thank you all for being here. We really do appreciate it. I apologize that Michael is not with us today. He apologizes profusely that he had to be called out of town on business also. But I think we're going to have a fun time visiting with Sophia. Sophia Young played here at Baylor, was a part of the national championship team in 2005, all Big 12 player of the year, all Big 12 conference, all American player at Baylor. And we look forward to sharing some stories from her and with her. Her husband Jermaine is here. Jermaine, since Michael's not here, we could have brought you up here. We could have. We don't want to put you on the spot, but it would have been great to have you up here also. But folks, join me in welcoming back home to Waco and back home to Baylor, Sophia Young Malcolm. Well, welcome to you. You
Thank
look
you.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And you're still in San Antonio?
I am. I believe that's going to be our home for a long time.
Very good. Yeah. Tell us about Jermaine. We're getting to meet Jermaine for the first time here. Well, stand up first. Let everybody see you, if you don't mind. This is her husband, Jermaine Malcolm. That's the most I'll put you on the spot,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
All right. Glad you're here.
Well, we're going to be celebrating our second anniversary coming up in March, so we're super excited about that. We met about 3 years ago, and I was telling this table my story about how I met Jermaine. We are both from the Caribbean. He's Jamaican. And I was playing basketball in China, and he sent a message on LinkedIn just to connect. We both had nonprofit organizations, and so we just connected that way. And I unfortunately tore my ACL in China, so after coming back and rehabbing and trying to get my nonprofit back going, I met with my board members and just kind of said, I remember this guy, you know, he had connected with me. He has a nonprofit too. Can you guys check him out? I was like, his picture is not really that cute, so you know, just check him out and see, you know, and see what you guys think. And so they're the ones that did the research on him. And so that same night that I had the meeting with my board members, he emailed me and said that they had a golf tournament that they were going to do and if I wanted to be a part of it. So I was like, oh, my gosh, hey, I was just talking about you today, you know. And I was planning to email you tomorrow. So anyways, we finally connected. We set up a lunch date at Chipotle. And whenever I first saw him, I was like,
"Ooh!" It's great that you get so excited about nonprofit work, you know? Really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. Giving back to the community. You know, that's what I focus.
It's all about giving back.
And so we talked and talked and about everything besides the nonprofit. Of course. And I was just staring at him the whole time. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I just want to kiss this guy, you know. And so we we didn't kiss. But we just connected and stayed in touch and then worked together. And I believe maybe 3 months later, we started dating after that. So, and then 6 months later, we got engaged. And a year later, we got married. Yes. So, yeah.
That's a great story. That is a great story. You know, we kind of feel like you're one of us.
Yeah,
I mean, you are
yeah,
one of us.
I am,
we
yeah.
kind of feel like you're our daughter, and we want to approve of, you know, the guy you're married with.
I know
a lot of people feel
yeah.
that way. So do y'all feel that way? But Jermaine, we certainly do approve. And that's a compliment to you that we feel that way and we care about you.
Well, thank you very much.
Want you
much.
To be
thank
with the right guy, much. So that's really good.
I know. I can't do anything about him now. He's stuck with me. Yeah.
You're in San Antonio. Are you retired from professional basketball?
Oh, yeah. This past summer was my last summer to play basketball with the Stars. I played for them for 10 years, and it really has gone by like that. I mean, I know people say that, you know, as you get older, time just flies, and it literally has flown by. But this past season was my last year, and it was a challenging decision. It was something that I have been thinking about for the past couple years, so it wasn't just a spur of the moment. Had talked to my husband about it, you know, and I just feel like it was time. We have other ventures that we want to go into, and I feel like basketball has just been such a tremendous avenue for me to explore the world and see different things, meet different people, and connect in so many different ways. And so I haven't really missed it yet, but with the WNBA, right at this moment, we'll be in the off season. So, you know, I'm kind of doing what I would usually do. So I'm kind of interested to see whenever the summer starts back up, if I'm going to be like, okay, I should be on the basketball court somewhere. Yeah. So.
So what are you going to do now? What are your plans?
My husband and I are actually managing a startup company right now. It's called Rec Changes, and it's a platform where anybody who wants to do recreation can find anything that they want to do on that platform. For example, if you want to, you know, go out and play some golf, you can go on that platform and find other golfers that's on there. Find a trainer on there, and you can connect with people on there. So it's a social. It's also a social network, you can post pictures. Our goal is to try to make San Antonio one of the most active cities in the country, but not just only San Antonio. We want to make it like nationwide, eventually. But it's just a place where anybody can go and find anything that they want to do and be active. Because one of the main reasons why we figure out people don't really work out or be active is because they don't know where to go, first of all. They don't have somebody else to work out with, or they're just, like, afraid of, you know, starting. And so with this platform, Rec Changes, you're able to connect with somebody that actually likes to do the same kind of things that you like to do. But you probably don't know that your neighbor actually likes to go fishing also, just because you don't really get out and talk. But you can be at home on this app and, you know, figure out who's in your area that likes to fish too, and just connect and say, hey, do you want to go fishing on Friday? Let's go, you know. And so you can meet up, and there'll be coaches on there if you want to get better at any type of you know, sport that you want to get better at. Whatever it is, it's going to be on there.
So is that up and running now? Could we look for it now, or is it still in the works?
It's still in the works.
Okay.
We actually have a tech development team working on it right now. We're hoping to launch it in March. So once it's up and running, we'll be promoted in a lot.
Good. You were so popular in San Antonio, you know, with the Silver Stars, and that franchise, you know, the Spurs and the Silver Stars are so much of the community. You really fell in love with San Antonio, didn't you?
I did. Well, I remember when I left Waco and I entered into San Antonio, I feel like, you know, being in Waco for 4 years, I just feel like I was leaving home and going somewhere else, and I didn't think that there was going to be anything as good as Waco. And so San Antonio had to really grow on me. I actually did not, you know, like it at first. It was just so, you know, different. And leaving Waco, where I kind of knew everybody, felt family, you know, felt that care and that love and that support here in this community. And then going to San Antonio, having to, like, rebuild and learn different people and learn new things. So it's something that took a while, but now we are in love with it. We're not going anywhere.
That's good. We're glad you're that close. Yeah. And not only did you play in San Antonio, but you played overseas a lot during your off season.
I did.
Off seasons. What was that experience like?
It was interesting, to say the least. I played in the Czech Republic my first year after I left Baylor, and that whole culture shock was unbelievable. First of all, when I got there, they gave me a standard shift car. I don't know what that is. You know, so whenever I got there, they were like, this is the only car that you can have. And I was like, no, I need an automatic. I can't drive this. And so, but they were like, you have to practice. So I practiced a couple times. And so I was like, okay, maybe I should go take a spin for by myself. They have like trams that run in the middle of the street, you know, overseas. And so I'm out, left the hotel, I'm out driving around, and I'm trying to start the car. It's like, yeah. I was like, okay, you know, just go slowly, ease it off. So I'm on the main road, and there's a red light. I stop, and then the light turned green. I see the tram in the back of me, you know. But my car won't start. And the tram is getting closer and closer. And I'm like praying, like, please start. The car's like, and it wouldn't start. But then there's a main street. So everybody is walking by looking at me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, so it didn't start. So I just kind of like, and like keep doing that until it moved to the side. And I was like, after that, like, I just stop the car right there to the side out of the tram's way, call the coach and say, can somebody please come get me? I can't drive this car. So, but yes, that's definitely one of those experiences that I had in Turkey. But besides that, the basketball, the culture, you know, playing in country where you don't speak, they don't speak English, and having a translator. Fortunately, basketball is like a universal language, so you kind of know when the coach is saying to the screen or, you know, what place to run. But conversating with your teammates and stuff like that, it's a challenge. And, you know, living in a culture where, you know, a lot of people didn't see, you know, a black person. So then you go into the grocery store and just having people just kind of like, oh, my gosh, who is that? And they'd be like, right here. And I'm like, can you back up, please? You know? So, but yes, it was definitely a culture shock and a great experience, actually, to the least. I got to travel to the Czech Republic, played in Hungary, played in Poland, Russia, China, Italy, Turkey. I played in Istanbul, Turkey for 3 years, and that was by far my favorite place to play. And just got to travel all over the world with basketball. Like I said, it has definitely allowed me to explore the world and see things that I would have never, absolutely never have seen with it.
What was the level of basketball internationally compared to the WNBA?
Well, the level is not as strong, but the fans are ridiculously crazy. Like, they're fans and they're dedicated from birth. You know, like, they're a fan of this club and they're going to be a fan of this club until they die. I remember when I played in Istanbul, Turkey, I played for Galatasaray, and they have a rival fan called Fenerbahce, and the club is, it's so bad that Fenerbahce fans cannot come to the Galatasaray games at Galatasaray, and Galatasaray fans cannot go to the Fenerbahce games because they literally, like, stab each other and like, kill each other. I remember one time we were playing against that Fenerbahce team, and towards the end of the game, maybe like two minutes to go in the game, it's a neck and neck game because it's a huge rival, right, for every sport in the club. And the referee made a call against the Fenerbahce team, and the fans didn't like it, so they just stood up and just like started like cheering like super loud and started throwing all sorts of stuff on the court. They were throwing, like, coins and bottles and everything that they can on the court while we were playing. And I'm like, what is going on, you know? And so the referee, like, stopped the game. And when the referee walks off the court, they have to stop the game for 20 minutes. Mind you, there's 2 minutes to go in the game. And so the referee stopped. He walks off. Then we have to wait, like, 20 more minutes before the games can continue. But the fans were just going crazy. One of my teammates, like, threw back, pick up one of the coins and threw it back in the stands, and that was not good, you know? And they were, like, about to run down and attack her, and so they had to have this whole line of police officers on the court, like, blocking, you know, so that the fans don't come and attack us. But there'll be other times when we'll go to a place and the fans will be outside waiting for us, like, you know, almost like mobbing the bus and stuff like that. But, yeah, you know, this is just a daily experience, overseas.
Wow, what an experience.
Yeah.
But you still went back every offseason.
I did.
It didn't keep you away. I don't know this about your background. Y'all remember that Sophia grew up in St. Vincent, West Indies. Yeah. Did you grow up playing basketball, or did you start basketball a little bit later in life?
Actually, I didn't start playing basketball until I was 15. Okay. In the Caribbean, basketball was not a big deal. Actually, I could not stand watching basketball when I was younger. Anytime it was on the TV, I'm like, can we please change the channel? I don't really want to watch this. But in the Caribbean, there's a sport called netball. It's probably in my profile somewhere. But it is very similar to basketball, footwork, catching, and all that stuff. The only difference is there is a pole with a goal, but there's no basket. So everything that you shoot has to be a direct shot from the three-point line or on, and every point counts as one. So a lot of that you know, fundamental skills from there transpired over to basketball. But it wasn't until I came to the U.S. as a sophomore in high school that I actually started playing basketball and learning fundamental skills and all that stuff.
Good. I got you. And you came to Louisiana.
Shreveport, Louisiana. Right? Uh-huh. Yes, and that was an interesting experience. I've never even heard of it before. I've told this story before where I feel like my life has just been ordained and blessed by God in so many ways. Whenever I came to Shreveport, to U.S., I was stuck at the airport because there was nobody there to pick me up. The school, maybe the coach had forgotten about me or something like that. So I was stuck at the airport for about 6 hours without knowing, like, what is going on. And I'm like, God, I know you didn't just give me this opportunity or bring me to the States to send me back home. And after about 6 hours or so, the security officer that was working at that point came over to me and just said, hey, I've seen you here for, you know, however many hours. Who are you waiting for? I was like, I don't know, yeah. You know. And then finally I showed him my paper and come to find out, he was one of the members at the church that was associated with the school. And so he took me to the church, and then they connected me with the family and everything that I was supposed to be. But I always say, I've never seen that security again. I cannot tell you who he is. So yeah. I really feel that that was like an angel sent by God specifically for me at that moment. But I remember, you know, just being in Louisiana and having to change the way that I spoke and, you know, where they say, I'm fixing to. I was like, what, y'all? Fixing it or what? What is it? What fixing? What are you about to fix? You know, and y'all and stuff like that. And so I had to change it a lot of the way. And I spoke really fast, so I had to, like, slow down and repeat myself all the time. And, you know, so
good.
It was interesting.